Acts chapter 6 today. We thank him for watching over us and giving us another opportunity to be in his house, for blessing us beyond measure. He blesses me far more than I'm worthy to receive. Been through trials and tribulations in my life. I'm celebrating another anniversary. Some say, well, you're crazy for remembering those times. But it's been 11 years ago that I was blind. But God gave me back my sight. And I thank him for that on February the 15th. That morning when I woke up that I couldn't see, but God gave me another vision that I could see much clearer with, to see that he is able, that he will deliver, and no matter what the circumstances is, that we can come through shining. Just as we're going to talk about Brother Stephen this morning, not Stephen sitting back there, but the other Stephen that's in the Bible. we could talk about him for a long time, but it wouldn't be for church. But anyway, hope he listens this morning. No, I pick at him a lot because I can, and I just thank him. Hey, don't get mad at me because I don't get mad at him too often whenever he picks back at me. So we are pretty rough on each other, but it's a love that we pick at like that at each other over. But the Stephen we're talking about this morning's in the Bible. This is a Stephen that was selected out, was made a deacon along with the others there whenever it was brought up. In the first part of chapter 6, as they were talking about, as the 12 said, it's not meet for us to leave our work and our study to have to go wait tables because they were distributing there, and some were complaining because the distribution didn't seem to be equal and fair. And they said, we don't have time to fool with this. We need to get some men to take care of this. And this is where the first deacons were appointed here to wait these tables and to assist the disciples here to be able to carry on the work of God, to give them the time to study and to minister and to teach and the different things to spread out and to delegate the work and the things there that God has ordained since about what we have in the book of Timothy there for the qualifications of both the preachers and the deacons. We're not going to get into that today, but we're going to get into Stephen being faithful to God and listening to God and doing many things God had intended for him to do to be a witness. There's so much that we need to be a witness about. Whenever we're out in public, if we're wearing our shirts that says New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, some that's in the youth group and some of the leaders, if we've got those shirts on and we're acting like pure heathens, what kind of message is that sending out? So we have to be very careful on who we're representing when we are supposed to be a church group. It's very important, just as Stephen here is representing the other deacons here at this point in time and more disciples that were listening and following after God. We have to be careful on how we answer, how we present ourselves, and how we come across. Now, sometimes it may seem that we're upset about things or upset at someone about things and don't realize we're doing it. So we must be careful on how we present ourselves. Sometimes we get a lot on our minds, and sometimes we don't realize how we are reacting or our facial expressions maybe, or some of the things that we're doing that may give a whole different story to someone than what we intentional and than what we mean to portray. And we have to be careful on how we portray ourselves. And we're going to see in just a little while, even though Stephen was facing persecution, that whenever they looked upon him, they saw the face of, like an angel. And so we need to strive to be that angelic person that God can use. Now, it's not always easy in these carnal bodies. It's not always easy that we react and do the things like we ought to, that we would see the peace of God in our lives. But we need to strive toward that. We need to work toward that. And that's a daily thing that we have to do. As we reach that point, as we grow with God, we realize that. The older I get, the more I realize that. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But we're working toward being better today than we were yesterday, but not as good as we will be tomorrow, because God has laid down a illustration and a blueprint for our life. Take, for instance, Gene and Janice with their house that they're planning to build. They have to have plans, and you have to follow it accordingly. You don't go and put the roof on before you lay the foundation. You have to follow that plan. We can't be complete like God would have us to if we don't build from the bottom up, from the foundation up. The best foundation is upon the solid rock of Christ. We have to be founded upon His Word, that we can establish the walls in our life to hold up and to be the sanctuary that we talked about last week, that God can inhabit and be a strong sanctuary for God, that He can indwell us and fill us with His Spirit. But now in chapter 6, we want to start in verse 7 this morning. I have both my electronic and my regular Bible this morning here with me, because I can read the electronic a little better with these lights until we get that straightened out. I am going to have this up here, but I do have the real Bible here with me as well, with the Word of God. This is the very same thing, and if you turn it the wrong way, the words all disappear. Yeah. Because they just did. Now, had me worried there for just a second. And that goes to show you that not everything's perfect. Even things like that can leave you behind. God's Word is perfect. You can turn it every which way you want to. Just read it and understand it. It won't disappear on you. It will establish. So, but this morning in chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Why is that verse important for us today? A great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. They had been schooled in the Jews' law, and they knew it frontwards, backwards. They were priests after the law here, Jewish priests, but yet they heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and was obedient to the faith that Jesus asked them to believe in. That Jesus saying that He was here to be the light to the world. He was the Word that was made flesh that walked among them. They heard what Jesus was trying to tell them through the disciples here. The number was great, multiplied. Today, if there's something we need in America, instead of division that takes place, we need some multiplication going on in the Christian community, that we would multiply and become a greater number, adding to the house of God, not taking away anything from the Word of God. Didn't know I was going to have all them math terms in. They just showed up. That's what I like about God. He takes care of all those things, and He can use those simple things that we can understand to get a message across. But they were adding to, they were multiplying to the church, they were multiplying the disciples, and people were being obedient to the faith in Christ. Today we need to be obedient to our faith in Christ, to proclaim Him and not all these other things that's going on in the world today that people are looking to for the answers for what God has the answers already for. If we'll just turn to Him, He'll answer any question you got. But you must seek out His will and His answer for that in His Word and in prayer and supplication. Something that we don't do as much as we one time did is have prayer in our homes, have prayer over things. We're too busy to a lot of times to get them what we need to do for God. We get it in the wrong priority. And a lot of times it's put last. It said, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." How was he able to be filled with the faith and great power? It was because he had faith in a God that was alive and has never died. He had faith in a God that was able to deliver, and God used him because he was willing to be obedient to the call. He was willing to be obedient to the service of what God had called him into, what the people had trusted him with and had laid hands on and ordained him and sent him out. He was obedient to that, and he could do many things because God could use him. Let me tell you today, we can do many things and mighty things because if we'll be obedient to God and we'll listen to Him and allow Him to use us, we can reach a lost and dying world and save them from a devil's hell. Not because we can save them, but because God is still able to. But He can use you for the messenger to get the word out. If we'll be obedient, we can do many things for God, but we have to be obedient. It's something that He requires of us to be a child, and our parents not to get have to get on to us and give us spankings. That's right, Mom and Dad gave me spankings when I was little and probably missed some that I probably deserved. They got me for most of them, though, I believe. But anyway, they still probably things I done I ain't told them about. I'm afraid I still love it. But anyway, I thank God that I had parents that cared enough to love me, to correct me. And I've got a God that loves me even more than my mom and dad did because He corrects me as well. And I tell you, some of those chastisements from God, sometimes they're a lot harder than the things that mom and daddy had to do to me. Now, the worst thing he ever done to me is made me sit down. I don't know why that hurts kids so bad. But sit down there and you think about it for 30 minutes. That was the longest 30 minutes in a day. Trying to sit there for 30 minutes, you think about it now, 30 minutes is over with before you can blink an eye. But when you're a kid, 30 minutes, that's forever. But let me tell you, God said, think about it. Think about what I've done for you. Think about what I can use you to do. I want you to be a miracle among men. I want you to share the Word. We got miracles sitting amongst us today that God has touched in their lives and provided things and done things for people and their health and financially and different things. And we got miracles sitting here amongst us. We need to be miracles among the people. We need to share that testimony. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them that are in Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now let me tell you, if you've got the true word and you're trying to get it out, you're going to have those that are going to try to dispute with you. Like, we can sit down and both of us read the same passage and we can get something different out of it. Guess what? In the Word of God, you can sit down and read the same passage 10 or 12 times and you'll get something different out of it 10 or 12 times sometimes. That's just the way God's Word works. What you are willing and what you are able to absorb, God will give to you. And as you grow older, God will feed you. And one verse that you will find strength in today, tomorrow there will be another one that will even strengthen you more. But they all add up just as building blocks that you can call on the whole Word of God. Not just part of it. Not what just suits your need for the time. But that you can call on the whole Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all God's inspired Word. And it walked among us. His name was Jesus. But they were disputing with Stephen. Today they're disputing still with the Christian faith. They're trying to say that it's not correct, that there is no God, that Jesus was just a man. But my friend, if it was all these things, why has it lasted so long? If God's not real, how come I can feel Him? If God's not real, how come I can see Him? If God's not real, how come I can hear Him speak to me? I thank God that He's real. I don't have to see His physical face. I don't have to touch His body to know it. I'm glad that I serve one that is so real that there's no denying it, His power. There's no denying what His Son did at the cross of Calvary. Because I trust God, because I was raised to know Him. But there's so many today that don't have that opportunity, and that's the same ones that Stephen was trying to reach at this time, that God was using to do many things, do miracles among the people, that they would be a witness. But they disputed. Still yet today we have some of those around. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which He spake. He wasn't of Himself that He was telling them. They couldn't resist the Spirit by which He spake. They couldn't refuse the knowledge that He had because He spoke with authority. Because guess what? He was hooked up with the one that wrote the book. God was using him and giving him the message to speak with authority. Today we need to reclaim the authority that God's given us as His people to speak the truth. To speak the truth, and it's all in God's Word. Now let me tell you something about you saying that. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And what I'm saying there is I have seen people that you can't have a conversation with about anything because they're quoting Scripture. And you can't have a conversation about anything that's going on. That's good to know the Scripture. Don't get me wrong. But when that's taken away from everyday life of trying to reach someone for Christ and turning them off, we're not doing what God wants us to. Do you think the disciples went around all the time preaching a message? They had lives too. They had relationships. And you have to build those relationships sometimes that you can give them the Word that it will get into their heart. But if you go up and you're spouting Scripture all the time to someone, you're going to turn them off. It's just like walking up and putting your finger in somebody's face and telling them if they're lost, they're going to hell. Instead of telling them that God loves them. There's a whole different way to reach the lost. And you can give the message. You can give it in a loving way or you can give it in a way that turns people completely against God. And there's been so many that have turned so many away. How we respond to the situation says a lot about our Christian maturity. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They wasn't ready to hear about Jesus. They considered it blaspheming because they talked about Jesus of Nazareth and his death on the cross and him being the salvation and him fulfilling the law. They didn't want to hear that. They considered that blasphemy. So they hired men to say, "We've heard him blaspheme." They thought, well, if we can't get him in something, we'll make up something. Sounds like the culture today, doesn't it? It's not changed a whole lot. We just got different clothes. We got cars instead of chariots. We got churches instead of synagogues. We got preachers instead of priests. But a lot of the same things still go on, the same backbiting things that goes on and the blasphemous things that are said that people say, because Satan is still trying to stop the word of God going out, the word of Jesus. And it says, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and called him and brought him to the council. In verse 12, brought him to the council. Sound familiar? I remember another man that they considered to be a blasphemer because he said he was the Son of God. Remember another man who they brought to the council with false accusations. I remember another man who went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life because he was love, that we might be saved, because we believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior. And they set up false witnesses which said, the man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Ooh, boy, right there you hit a nail on the head. When you talk about changing people's customs, what we're used to doing, boy, you can get people riled up quicker over that than you can anything else. You can talk about Jesus dying at the cross of Calvary, taking a whipping with a cat of nine tails across his back, then plucking his beards out, smoting him on the face with their hands and making fun of him and taking his clothes and parting them and casting lots for him. And you can talk about that and him going to the cross and laying down and them driving the nails through his hands and his feet, and you can't get a tear out of them. But you talk about changing something that Grandma and Grandpa did at church, and boy, I tell you, you get people riled. I had a man one time, his daddy had rung the bell for Sunday school to end for 30 years. His daddy got to where he couldn't do it, and I asked him if he wanted to do it to carry on the family tradition, because I didn't want nobody's feelings hurt because somebody else done it. He started crying and said, my daddy done that all them times, I can't do it. And started crying because his daddy couldn't ring the bell no more. I'm glad he had respect for his daddy. But when an altar call was given, he couldn't come to the altar. When things were to be done, he was always too busy. We need to have that humble spirit of service to God and learn how to follow, because God is molding us and making us and shaping us. I'm not the same as I was when I first started preaching. Bob asked me, he said, how can you stand that long? I said, practice. God gives us the strength to be able to stand. But yet they said, because Jesus said, if you tear down this place, this temple, and rebuild it in 3 days, I can rebuild it in 3 days. He was talking about his body. Wasn't talking about their building that they had built, but yet they still saw that. This holy place. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. They were still stuck in Moses' day. They weren't there when Moses was walking. They wasn't there when Moses delivered to them the law. They wasn't there when he was alive. But they were stuck in the custom of the law and what they had been reared in. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And for some reason that has stuck with me after I read this scripture and making preparation for today, when as God led me to these scriptures. And I thought, when they were there making those accusations, how would my face look? I'm afraid many times it would look like I'd been eating persimmons or eating some of them sour candies that the kids like so well. Turn your face inside out. Make you red. Instead of having a smile and an angelic face, I'd probably have a frown. My dander might get up, you might say, because they were making accusations that I knew were false. But that's part of the maturity. We have to allow God to come first. And know that God will take care of any situation that we're in. And no matter what they're bringing against us, a false accusation, whatever it might be, is standing before the council. Because Satan is standing today in the throne room of God. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, it's true. He was able to do it in the Old Testament. He's able to do it in the New Testament. He's not been bound and excluded from there yet. And he goes before God and says, "What about this one? What about that one? What about this? Let's just let me touch them a little bit in their life and let's see what they do, how they respond." And many times we face a little affliction. We throw up our hands. "God, where are you at? You've left me." Because we've went through a little trial, a little tribulation. God's not left you. He just wants you to see if you remember where He's at. If you remember where He's at, who to rely on in the situation. Who to rely on in the situation. But they saw His face. It's been the face of an angel. Face of an angel. And boy, that struck a chord with me on how we respond. The things that we ought to do. Do I have a face of an angel? Sometimes, in situations, I'm afraid to say that I'm not always that way. Something I need to work on. Something I need to work on. Something we all need to work on. And think, when situations arise, our friends and loved ones, except by the grace of God, that could be us going through that and have compassion. Have the sympathy that God has put in our hearts because He had sympathy on us. And had compassion. That when we were unworthy, when we were unlovable, God still loved us. And Stephen knew that God loved him no matter what the council was saying. He knew that he was just saying what God had told him to do. He was just sharing what he had been taught of God. And he was trying to reach those for Christ. We go on and we know the story of Stephen. As they continued on in their mock trial, if you want to call it this, and their accusations against him, and they decided they're going to stone Stephen. I'm glad they didn't kill him. They just rocked him to sleep. And he saw his father. He saw Jesus, and he saw him stand to his feet to welcome him in to his heavenly home. Stephen might have not have known it that morning when he woke up just what was about to take place. But he was about to graduate from the land of the dying to the land of the living. Maybe just a little foreshadowing when they looked upon him and saw the face of an angel. They saw the peace that was there, though they were bringing accusations against him that wasn't right. He still had peace in God. He still had peace in the story that he was sharing. He still had peace. Because he shared what God had gave him. Today, will we share what God has given us? Will we share? Will we have power and great wonders that we can do because we're obedient to God? It's important that we're obedient. We all think, and I know I probably thought it in the past before I was a pastor or a preacher, that the preacher ought to do more than anybody else. But we all have the same job. Some are called to share the word, to preach and to teach. And yes, he's given pastors and preachers an awesome responsibility. And yes, they are held more accountable than others and should be. But we all are accountable. We all are accountable to the Word of God. We all are accountable to God. Just as Stephen was accountable to God, he knew his account was clear. That he had done those things, that he was obedient, that he was reaching people for God and doing what God had asked him to do. He knew he hadn't said anything amiss. He knew that he hadn't blasphemed. He knew that he had just told the story and passed on the good news. And sometimes in passing along the good news, we get ridiculed. Just keep on sharing it. Keep on sharing it. They don't stop telling it on the news. A story, they repeat it and they tell it and they tell it and they tell it till you can about repeat it if you watch it very long. And then they have to back up and say, "Well, all that wasn't this way because they didn't have all the facts." Well, friend, I got all the facts. They can't prove it wrong. They've tried. They've tried and they've tried and they've tried. This is the living word that is infallible from God's design. From God's design, it's infallible. If you stand on that word and you proclaim it to a lost and dying world, you can stand one day when they're making accusations against you and appear to have the face of an angel because you've shared the true word of God. You won't have to back up from it. You won't have to find some other new source. I'm glad it don't have to become new, that it's still the same as it was then, and it will be the same tomorrow, but it'll be fresh and relevant for the day at hand. It never gets old. It never gets outdated. It gets misstated what the Word of God says, but that's our fault and not its. Will we be obedient to His Word? Will we stand as Stephen? Will we have the faith? Will we be listening and wanting to share the Word of God? Will we stand that others may be obedient to the faith? Can we do great and mighty things that God can use us for? The answer is yes. But you have to stand for the right things upon the foundation of God, proclaiming His Word and telling others the love of Jesus. Melissa, if you'd come to the piano, please, and play for us this morning a song of invitation. It's good to have Melissa and Bill with us this morning. Got so much talent in the church, we try to use everybody at some point in time. And so every time she's here, we try to use her somewhere to help us out, either singing or playing the piano. And I'm thankful for her being here this morning and never saying, "No, preacher, I really don't want to use my talent. Just let me be." She just jumps right in there and does what she needs to. And appreciate it. We got so many like that. We got so many like that. And friend, maybe you could be like that, but you just need to surrender to God. And God could use you. If you're here this morning, you're lost, God wants to give you a home in heaven. Just as Stephen saw Jesus stand to His feet to welcome him home, Jesus will do the same to you if you'll only let Him. He'll come into your heart and make you anew. He'll take the old man and He'll throw him away as far as the east is from the west and make you a new creature in Christ. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, that He'd stretch out His arms on the cross of Calvary and die for you that you could be saved. That if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation, it's that easy. Now life's not that easy, because there's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be hard times. It's going to be a rough road sometimes being a Christian. But we still got the road map to help us navigate those rough times, that we come through on the other side and have the right direction. Any of you got a GPS unit and it never takes you maybe sometimes exactly where you're supposed to go? You're driving along through a green field that has no road. They're only good for a certain amount of time. God's placement system is good for all time. But just trust in Him. As we stand to our feet this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, if you're here, would you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I need to be saved. I've never trusted Jesus for my Savior. I don't know what salvation is, but I'd like to know. I feel Him dealing with my heart. I know that I'm lost and that I'm in need of You, Jesus. Preacher, help me pray that He will increase my faith that I might believe in Him." Would there be one anywhere? Lift your hand high if you're here. I'd love to pray for you. I'd rather pray with you, but I'd love to pray for you. If you'll just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I need to be saved. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" "Preacher, I've got another burden upon my heart this morning. I'd just like to get you to help me pray for it. Let me tell you, we need to bear one another's burdens this morning. If you've got one, I want to help you bear it. I want to carry it to God." God bless that hand. Bless that hand. God bless that hand. Bless all the hands that's going up across the congregation this morning. Friend, would you just come to the altar this morning and lay your burden there? Would you just bring it and lay it down at Jesus' feet? bring it together with each other, that you might bind together your hearts and reach heaven this morning and take your cares and your worries to Him, your burdens to Jesus this morning. He will answer. He will hear. His ear is only dull of hearing if you don't call to Him. And if you don't trust Him to answer, it's not God answer if you can. Don't doubt it if you're praying. You go believing and trusting Him. And God will answer that prayer according to His will, according to His time, according to His way. Will you bring it and lay it at Jesus' feet this morning? The ground's level at the foot of the cross. There's no big I's and little U's. It's all God's children if you'll come. If you'll come. There's just something special about bowing in an altar. If you have a need, would you bring it this morning?